When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here today. All right, well, who do we have with us today, Jamie?
So today we're talking to our good friends, Karen and Toby. And it's actually going to be a really great episode for those of you who are maybe just getting started in your fertility process, need to know the ins and outs of how to go about it.
It's almost like baby making 101, lesbian style.
We get kind of a little bit more in depth with
the process.
The process. And they have a fun story, so.
All right, let's meet them.
Here we go.
All right, we're All right, we're here today with Karen and Toby.
Oh, hi, guys.
So before we get into your fertility story du jour, what is the elevator pitch story of your relationship?
I tell Karen what to do. And she does it.
That's not true.
Oh.
No, interesting.
Do you have anything else to elaborate with that, or is that just...
What is true,
Karen?
All right, Karen, what's
Toby's
your
Toby's everything I never knew I wanted.
That is love.
Are you just sucking up right now?
No, like that's true.
No, that was in our vows.
It's very true. I actually... my vows. I know you guys really well. And I'd say it's probably kind of accurate.
Yeah.
Which part?
So, both. So basically, you always wanted someone standing behind you going like this, go over here, please.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No, she was looking for someone who was over 5'6", loved football, and over 30 years old.
I feel like that's kind of a low bar.
Right? And she didn't meet
so
it.
So did I.
I was like, oh, you don't want that. You actually want someone who's 5'4", hates football, and is 28.
Okay, good. Yeah,
she barely made the age cutoff.
I didn't make the age cutoff.
Well, it was 27 was a cutoff.
That was like your hard.
You met me.
Number.
You're like, well,
I think it was five years difference. I thought that was
okay. Yeah. So, but good couple. You guys are good people.
Thanks.
We are. We love you.
We're really good people. Mm-hmm.
And you've been together quite some time.
We have. We've been together. How long have we been together, Karen?
Oh
yeah, we've
God.
Been together 13 years.
Can you just feel the love radiating?
I was gonna say 12. 2005.
It's felt like 12, but it's been 13.
So obviously we brought you here today to talk fertility. And we, you know, Jamie and I were talking a little bit before, and we feel like you guys are one of the, I would say, the lucky people who had sort of a, you know, a fairly easy go of it when science is involved. So we thought maybe it'd be a good idea to walk through the process so people can get a sense of, you know, how does it work? And so we thought we'd start with how you're two ladies, you got lots of ovaries. Mm-hmm. So how did you decide who was going to carry?
Also, you guys went through this how many years ago?
10
years ago.
Yes.
10. Wow. Correct.
10 years?
Yeah.
Well, when we started. Holy Edie mo- just turned 9. Oops.
It's fine. I think they know.
We can say our daughter's name.
I think the listeners know that there's probably a child.
Cat's out
and,
of the bag.
And that she has a name.
Because we did say it was relatively easy for them. So there is a child.
And spoiler alert, there's a baby.
And she's 9 now.
The end.
Okay.
Okay.
What a good story, guys.
Thank you.
All right. So how did you decide who was going to carry?
I didn't have to carry, which was great.
Oh, you didn't want to?
No. You didn't want to at all.
She has a Tobes for that.
I have somebody to do that for me.
Was there discussion surrounding it?
Or I mean,
was
you
it,
just heard it.
That was it.
Yeah.
You've never wanted to.
Seriously?
I never had a desire necessarily to carry.
But did you know you wanted children?
Yes.
Really?
Definitely.
So you were just kind of like, when you figured out you were gay, you're like, sweet, I don't have to do it?
Correct.
She's like, 28, baby. Okay. Those are good eggs.
No, seriously. Well, she really wanted to, and I was like, go for it. I don't have to. That's
But you
fantastic.
Always knew that you wanted to have a baby.
Correct.
Because we've talked to some people who, when they knew they were gay, decided, well, then that's it for me. I can't have kids.
I didn't think about it that much. It was more, I remember when my niece was born and going to visit my brother and thinking like, oh, I want to have a family too. That I do remember.
Yeah, I actually never thought I wanted children. I remember in high school, I had a tight group of friends, and I didn't know why I was gay in high school. And although it was my biggest fear that I would be gay, so that might have been an indication.
I had that fear too. How funny.
Yeah, I was like terrified.
I was too.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
So weird.
So weird. And I was like, all my friends would be like, oh, I'm going to go to college and I'll meet a husband and then we'll have 3.2 kids or 2.3 kids or whatever the average is. And blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, right. Marriage and child. I was like, I don't know. I guess it'll just happen. And then in college, the biggest thing was I came out after my freshman year and I'm like, yeah, that really fucks things up because that wasn't the plan. I guess I just meet someone and have a kid.
I guess I just meet a tall lady.
Very tall, beautiful.
But you had, both of you, well, Toby for sure, had like family on the mind. You knew you wanted to get married and have a family.
When I met Karen, I did.
Interesting.
You know, it was like in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I guess I have kids. But it wasn't until I really met Karen that I was like, oh, I've met someone that I actually want to share a life with.
And you guys decided to have kids pretty quickly after like getting together, right? Or after, was it together or marriage?
It was after we got married. It was right after we got married.
Yeah, you guys moved fast.
Yeah. No?
And you were the first of any lesbians I knew to have a kid.
Yeah.
In our generation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. We didn't know each other
first that year. Yeah.
It was a little like a science experiment. That's what I always call it.
So you were
felt
kind
like
of
we were
like
doing a little experiment.
Pioneers.
So who took the lead on the research? I'm going to guess. Wait, let us guess. Let us guess.
Toby.
Oh, God, I hate research. No, Karen. I had the idea, and then Karen did all the research.
You're so bigger picture. You're like, I've got this idea. Handle it, Karen.
Yeah.
That's what I do for a living.
So Karen did research.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah,
but
you're like the banks that we're going to use.
Because like, when Anne and I went into it, we had so many friends who had already done it. It was mm-hmm. like, we didn't really have to do that much research.
Yeah. We just asked our friends. We were trying it at the same time, but I don't feel like we shared research or information or anything like that.
No, I think Karen and I were relatively private about it.
Well, we didn't want to tell anybody, I think. We didn't want to tell anybody that we were, what we were doing, I guess.
Yeah.
Just in case we were just trying to be private about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Well,
that's,
and by the way, that's a really valid point. Like, you almost don't get the, like, a straight couple can just, start trying in their boudoir and not tell anybody, but you like have to start going to doctor's appointments and like picking out sperm. So like we were so vocal about it. Like we had a binder, of course.
Of course you
did. I made a binder. And like we were like showing the binder to people. And like, I mean, we didn't have a binder party like I've heard some people do, but we were,
I don't know. What that
I think it's because like we were trying to figure it out. We didn't want to, I think we just didn't want any outside influence until we knew what we wanted.
I understand that too. We were more private about it too. But I think that with gay couples, you do kind of make the decision to either be open about it or keep it in the dark. Whereas most straight couples, I think, well, actually, I don't know. Maybe they all have to make that decision too.
Well, a lot of people will say, yeah, we've been trying for a long time or something like that.
And then don't you just picture them doing it when they say it? That's all I picture. I'm just like, you guys are doing it a lot.
Ew.
But it's
no,
how
now
can
I
not?
Ask, now I ask people, so have you been charting? Because of all the things that I went through to try to get pregnant. Have you been charting? Have you been
Did
checking
you take
your
out
mucus?
All the plastics out of your house?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
I do remember sitting at Dallas BBQ with you guys. And
classy.
Yeah.
That was after you were pregnant and I think I had had the miscarriage.
You had.
Yeah.
And I remember we still didn't say anything and we went home that night. And
Okay. Yes, because I had just had a miscarriage.
You had just had a miscarriage.
And you were pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we got pregnant like right around the exact same time, you and I.
Yeah.
And because I remember I saw you at the Pride Parade and you were pregnant and I started crying and I was like, I'm so happy for you. It was like it's such an overreaction, but it was because I had had the miscarriage. You might not have noticed, but
I did. And I thought it was a really valid reaction because we went home that night and Karen was like, I feel like we should have told her. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what the right thing should have been. But
by the way, I've held a grudge for a really long time. It's like who knows what the right thing to do is. It's like a hard thing for someone.
Yeah.
But okay, so we're going to get back on track.
Okay.
So you've decided, here's where we have you. You've decided Toby's going to carry. And how did you decide who was going to be, like, how you were going to get it? Were you going to do a known or an unknown? Did you consider a known person? Like, what was your process there?
I don't think we really considered a known person too much. I thought it would be too messy.
Actually, that's a good question for you, Karen. How did you feel about that whole?
It didn't take long. I think I was sad about it a little during her pregnancy, but mm-hmm. then once Edie was born, I was like,
over it. Were you afraid that you wouldn't have the same bond?
Not really.
See, I wasn't. I had a lot of fears.
Yeah, Mary was worried about that as well.
Yeah.
I remember having that conversation with both of you. And Karen, I mean, I think it was also one of the reasons why I love Karen so much is when something bothers her, she will vocalize it mm-hmm. and is open to just be very transparent about it. So she shared the fear and we talked about it. And then you didn't talk about it again, so I felt like it was resolved.
I mean, I've never gotten the vibe from you, Karen, that it was something that was brooded upon. Like, for me, I brooded on it. Like,
no, I really didn't think about it that much. Especially, I remember thinking about it during the pregnancy and just being like, wow, that kind of stinks that she won't have the same DNA. And then I was like, it really doesn't matter. I remember after she was born, it was like, not a big deal at all.
In the end, it really doesn't matter at all. This is what we've all learned.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but it comes up, I feel like, for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, for us, it came up when we had a separate donor for Henry because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they're not going to be
right.
exact.
Right.
You know, they're gonna, and it was like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything for Mary. Like, that's a dump. But it you go mm-hmm. through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One goes through it.
Yeah.
One I does.
Mean, you know, on one the basketball may. Court, I always think, okay. if only... Only Karen's a very good basketball player for those who
she's
are listening.
Tall,
super tall. She can basically do any sport.
Wait,
she tries.
We didn't say Anna's. Big. What are you getting bunched up ski. About? You rolled your eyes.
No, you can't ski because you've never tried it.
I'm not a fan of skiing.
I tried it. I'm not good at
with,
it.
Lots happening right now. All right. So you say we're not going to use a family member. We're not going to use a known donor. How did? So you were like, we're going to a bank then.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a hard time choosing a bank, or was it?
I don't even remember.
I think we chose a bank that was on the East Coast. Yeah, we knew one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast.
And I think the one on the West Coast, I thought everybody had used that one.
I didn't want to use that conversation.
Yeah. I was like, let's use one that we've never heard of.
Yeah, I thought we didn't use the same bank then.
We used one on the East
Coast. Yeah, we used the West Coast one.
Oh, I thought we used the same one. No, this whole time I thought we used the same
one. Donor number 72854.
Is that a real number?
That's not the number.
No, that's not the number.
I think we're going to get listeners. We're going to get Twitters.
They're going to be
tweets. It's called tweets.
Oh my God, you're 95. All right,
bleep that out.
What with the Twitters?
I don't know the number.
No, I don't remember the number. But I mean, it's tattooed on my arm, but I don't remember it. No, I do remember it being on the East Coast and thinking we're going to be growing, you know, raising this child on the East Coast. So if she wanted to follow up with him, the chances of him being there.
So there you won't chose be. The bank and mm-hmm. you chose an open donor.
Correct.
We did. And that was a conscious decision?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like, I think both of us felt that we were making all these other decisions in this kid's life and that this was one decision that this child could have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that we didn't want to make that decision for them.
Did mm-hmm. you have a hard time choosing the donor? Was it, I mean, did you like agonize? What were you looking for?
It took
for?
About 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. You're seriously? Kidding.
No. Mm-hmm. We're fast
you guys
decision
are
makers.
Very interesting people.
I know. I had a binder. I mean, I don't know how to be more clear.
I mean, it was
no,
like
we
choosing super.
Had a short list. Really? No, I think we did it in one night.
Yeah.
What? Our second we did with one night. But wait, the first one. Mm-hmm. But did you do all the pictures and pay for all of the, because it's like for
we
those
did
people
pictures
who don't know.
And voice recording
for the one we picked
childhood
like
photos?
A snippet of the interview that they had with him.
Sure.
So I think we had narrowed it down, so we put a lot of Karen's
traits.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Features. So someone who was tall. Mm-hmm. Someone who is,
I feel like they're all tall. I think they had like a 5'10 minimum.
They all are tall because yeah, we wanted short so yeah. that it had a little bit of me.
I truly think that's one of their criteria.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, we didn't pay for Ivy League.
Oh yeah, there was.
You had to pay for Ivy.
No, it wasn't a PhD.
It was called PhD,
whatever.
And it was like, so yeah, it was super gross.
They didn't have
super
that
gross.
For us. Well,
that's what turned me off about that bank in particular, because I was between those two. I just found that so gross. And the West Coast Bank, I found that they were a lot more about like the creative vibe, like they were so much more LA, and you know,
interesting
being a creative.
So you paid for the pictures and you paid for the,
but only for the donor we ended up selecting. So this bank. you can hear a snippet of the interview.
No, we paid for two because I remember listening to the other guy and thinking he seemed perfect on paper. And then you heard the interview.
We had that happen.
Like a douche.
We did that too. We bought two audio and it came down to the audio recording. In
yes. Yes, me too. Like so surprising because it's like on paper they're so perfect, but all I could picture is my and kid he was sounding just, like that. And I was like,
sounded like this egotistical jerk. And then the other guy was like, they said, like, what was your favorite childhood memory? It was like, I just used to like to go out and play street hockey with my brothers.
Karen was like, done.
That's him.
That's
him.
That's the
That's
one.
The one.
We had this one guy that we listened to, and he just kept being like, I like to watch a lot of movies. I don't know. My favorite thing is like
I like
movies.
To sit in dark in rooms my mom's by basement. Myself.
And Mary and I were like, this dude smokes so much pot. We were like, no way.
How does he have sperm count?
Yeah, exactly. Does he? I don't know.
But then I would have been like, but he might be a mellow kid. Yeah, which right. I really cared about. I was really trying to get a mellow kid.
Isn't that hilarious?
And it didn't happen. I got the exact opposite. So funny.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
So, okay, so you had a pretty easy time picking. So what about, then did you move into, like, I mean, your next major decision is like, okay, am I going to a doctor, a midwife? Mm-hmm. Am I going to chart my basal temperature? Like, so what was your thought process on that?
Well, I don't know what
they don't even know what that is. That's how easy it was.
Stuff downstairs. You got to measure something.
No. You just check your temperature every morning in your mouth.
Oh my God.
You were doing it wrong. No wonder.
None of you have had to go through this.
It's like, oh my God.
You just chart your, you just take your temperature.
You don't put the thermometer between your butt cheeks because that's what Robin was doing.
But you do have to check the cervix and stuff. I didn't do it like this, but
you don't have to, but that is a part of it.
But you did because you're an overachiever.
No, I actually am not an overachiever and I didn't check my cervix.
Well, now I have a visual.
And my wife wouldn't do that for me either. So
now I can't get my temperature.
And okay, so how'd you choose that?
Where are we again?
The doctor, midwife.
Oh, I was going to
just went to the gynecologist.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to
the one you were already going to.
The one I was already going to. And we sat down and they asked for 4 months prior to starting. So I called and said, you know, we're thinking, my partner and I are thinking of having a baby. And they said, okay, well, 4 months prior, you need to come in for a pre-baby making session with us.
And so we just went to, you didn't even go to a clinic? You just went to your straight up OBGYN?
I think so.
Yeah.
Your doctor inseminated you.
First time, yes.
No, the first time was the weekend place. But
well,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
When we conceived, it was our doctor.
Oh, you didn't go to like a fertility clinic or anything like that?
No. But we got bad advice.
Wait, can we go back to what's the weekend place? What is that?
So it's just this little thing we do. the doctor wasn't there on weekends, so she sent us to a weekend place.
Like a lab. A lab. Yeah. I went to that lab, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In the city.
Okay. Weekend place. That
yeah. No.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, everybody does it a little differently.
I guess
yeah, I found that as well. Yeah.
Like, so we did the pre thing and we sat down and I am Jewish. I'm half Jewish. And she said, well, you know, you could do DNA testing, but are you choosing a Jewish donor? And I said, well, we're not. She said, oh, well, then you don't need to do the testing. We're like, sweet. So I'm just going to take vitamins and I'm going to figure out when I'm ovulating. And then we bought the sperm, had it shipped. And then
shipped it to your doctor.
Yeah, we shipped it to the doctor, but then I happened to be ovulating on a weekend. So the first time
your doctor's like, I am at the Cape. She's sorry.
Like, go to my weekend place.
Dunzo. So we go to the weekend place, and that's where the...
Yeah, they were a little manhandled me at the weekend
place. Oh, that hurts. Yeah, but I actually remember I had to work all weekend, and I was sitting at the kitchen table working all weekend, and I carry stress in my stomach a lot, and I was like, no life can be conceived in this situation. I was so stressed.
Yeah.
And we didn't conceive.
That was your first try.
Yeah.
Didn't work. But you did it at the doc. You did it through your doctor, which is the first I've ever heard of that.
Mm. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So then the second time you did it at your doctor and it worked.
I guess.
Yeah. And you went right the next round.
Second month. Well,
Karen and I met for a lunch date. No.
Yeah, I left work to meet her at the doctor's office.
I got inseminated.
Isn't that the best part? Isn't the best part about the process? It's like, it's so different from straight couples who are having their like sex wherever they have it. Yeah. Like you're like meeting in the morning. Like ours was always in the morning for the big clinic, and you're meeting, and then somebody puts some sperm in there, and then you go back to work, and you're just like,
yeah,
there could be a baby in there.
And for me, the time that I actually worked was the one time Ann didn't show up. So what does that say? I don't know.
Poor Ann.
Ann couldn't get off work that day.
Poor stable Ann didn't make it that one time.
I know, my rock. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so you have the baby, and you've already, I feel like there was a little foreshadowing in your story there of the doctor tells you don't worry about any testing, you're not choosing a donor.
And the part where I said we got bad advice.
So I kept peeing on the stick and ahead of time, and it wasn't happening. And Karen's like, put the sticks away. And then it was a couple days before.
She kept peeing on sticks. I was like, just random sticks are expensive. Can you stop peeing on sticks?
And then it was like a couple days before the anniversary of when we met.
Were you taking them before the 14 days?
Yes.
Maybe.
She just kept peeing on sticks. Okay,
you know what I would do? So every time I would go, all right, I'm definitely going to take the test at 14 days. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I'd be like, you know, it says it's accurate up to like 7 days. Seven. So like a 13 is fine.
Totally.
And like every day I would just start moving it up, and I was taking it around 9 or 10.
Oh, I'm sure
that.
I was. Too.
I did that except for the time it worked. I didn't test
Whoa.
At all.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I was over, but I was in a You'll do new the opposite. Place by that point.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So you're peeing
I peed
on sticks.
And Karen's in the kitchen, and I'm like, Karen! And I like had it in my mind. I'm like, I'm going to be pregnant this time, then I'm going to surprise her, and she's going to open it up on our anniversary, and then there were two lines, and I'm like, Kevin!
She's going to open up a stick that I've urinated on in a box. So
we still have the stick.
Yeah, we do have
no,
the
you
stick,
don't.
Too. Yeah, we do.
And by the way, I want to throw it out, but I can't. It's just like in a random underwear drawer.
I don't know where it is. Yeah.
It's in the underwear drawer.
I do not have the stick.
You don't?
No.
Well, you didn't. You said you didn't.
Okay, Toby can pee on one for you if you want. She loves to do it.
No, I think I peed on the stick after we found out.
Just for clarification, it's Toby snorting. Just want to be straight up clear on that. I am sometimes known to be a snorter, but Toby is the Olympic champion of snorting.
Snorter.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get to the panel business. So for those people, it's just for listeners who may be not familiar with the Jewish population, there's certain.
They are a people.
That came out super racist. Oh, God.
That's anti-Semitic, but yeah.
I mean,
but we're not, and we're not any of those.
But they love the Jews,
guys. This is going really well.
Mm-hmm. why don't you help Robin out with this one?
So yes, please explain.
There's a lot of mutations on the Ashkenazi panel. There's a number of mutations, so like the maple syrup urine one, and Tay-Sachs is the biggest one.
Sure,
that's the one I've heard of.
Yeah, yes, right.
Me too.
So I got to call it work. That I happen to be the carrier of the most uncommon one called Bloom's disease.
Mm-hmm. So when did they test you? You're already pregnant at this point. Mm-hmm. Was this like, what did you do the quad screening or like know. When?
CVS.
You
about?
CVS or
blood.
Like
test.
When they did a.
I mean, they took blood from me and tested it.
Yeah. It's just weird that they would be testing you to be a carrier after you're already pregnant. Like,
thank you.
The part I don't understand.
But they did that for
I think they
did
test
that
everybody.
Too.
It's just like part of the standard testing after however many.
So that was probably the quad screening.
Maybe.
That was a 4-part blood test. Like, it's what they used to do before the amnio. Now they do CVS a lot more.
Okay.
Mm. Although I think there's a new thing even now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, so I get the call and I'm like,
so what do we do?
So we still had 2 vials of sperm.
Well, no. Then they said they were like, you should.
Why are you on the vials of sperm? You're already pregnant. What happened?
So
we just had them left over.
The next question was.
Oh.
They bought in bulk.
You need to check the donor. And we said.
Had the bank not tested for this?
I guess they didn't. Right?
They don't. Yeah.
Oh, because it's such a rare one.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think
it was available.
No, they do.
They
do. When they put, because we had, after Henry was born, we got a letter from the bank saying there was a particular disorder that they hadn't screened for, that they had begun screening for, that they hadn't screened for before, you know, originally. And the way they found out that ours was a carrier was somebody had an issue. One of the babies that was born had an issue. And they were like, you know, likely if your kid's already passed 8 weeks, you don't, but. You know, your kid could also be a carrier, so you're going to want to check that out when they're older.
I don't remember really these details, but I know for a fact the bank didn't have it because this is kind of interesting what we had to do. But
so we had to go to the geneticist.
Okay.
So then we go there, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I can see this doctor's computer, and she is Googling Bloom's disease. And I was like, oh, we're in great hands now. So now not only did the testing not happen, we got bad advice not to get tested. The geneticist has no clue what this thing is, because then we go in the office and
she's... But Karen, the internet did. So, I mean...
I know. Wikipedia did. I could have actually done that research on my own. But, and then she made it seem like she was so knowledgeable about it. I remember when she was talking. Yeah. I felt like I didn't call her out on it.
But she also said that you couldn't test the DNA from sperm.
Right. So then we're like, well, what do we do?
I'm getting a sense that's probably not true.
And she said, well, no, you can't. They can't get enough sample from sperm. You can't get enough DNA. So Toby goes back and calls the bank. And those technicians knew more about the genetic testing.
Well, they had a geneticist on staff.
Yeah. Than so this person in at the prominent hospital on the east side of Manhattan.
So I set up a conference call. I was like, can you guys just talk? So they talk and they determine.
Of course you set up a conference call.
It was great, though. I mean, I know. Hi, that was the only way it was going to happen.
I've got a geneticist from the bank on the line for you. Please hold.
That was the only way it was going to happen in any realistic
and
time period.
How far along were you at this point?
It was at a point where if we needed to terminate, because this isn't, it wasn't a, it, it's such a severe mutation that, obviously, they don't advise one way or another to bring it to term. But Karen and I had decided that we wouldn't bring the pregnancy to term.
Right. And no judgment. You know,
it was very hard decisions.
For everyone who has to make a decision.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we had a scare along these lines and with Henry, and we were, you know, because I, about Downs.
Right.
And I had had an uncle with Downs, and we were just like, but we never had the conversation because we were like, I don't want to say anything until we have to.
Right.
Yeah, Karen and I had the conversation before we got pregnant. So we knew, like, what decisions we would make.
That's probably a smart way to do it.
So we ended up getting the testing back from him, from the sperm, and he was not a carrier.
And so that means you had 50-50, or did that mean it was definitely, you needed both to be?
Both, yeah. Okay. So that might have been at 8-9 weeks. And then it
does that mean your daughter could be a carrier as well? She probably is. Yeah.
Yeah, so she
got a 50% chance, right? That's like Henry's situation. Yeah.
And then, you know, at 12 weeks, I found out that I also tested high for likelihood of spina bifida.
Oh, forgot about that.
This is like the feel good podcast of the year, right?
Well,
here.
Well, if you're pregnant, just, you know, this is a fun conversation if you're pregnant.
Well, it's funny because at that point, Karen and I were like, what is going to be wrong with this little thing? Like, we didn't know it was a girl at the time. And I was like, I think this is preparing me for parenthood. Like,
totally.
My child's not going to be perfect. There is going to be something,
quote,
wrong with my kid. And this is a really good test of learning that.
But I also think that it's a really good point to bring up that at some point you're going to be tested and they're probably going to flag you for something.
Yeah.
With our second, we were flagged for it before the Down syndrome thing happened. They told us he had a club foot.
Aww.
And we were like, of course, we were sobbing because it was that same feeling of like my perfect little baby's ruined and didn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we looked it up and we were like, well, Christy Yamaguchi had a club foot and Mia Hamm. I was like, they've done all right.
That's interesting. I didn't know
So then, like a couple days later, they call him for the Down syndrome. She did darn good for herself.
Especially with her feet.
2 days later, like the Down syndrome call came, and then we were like, you know, like when the amnio came back okay, we were like, who cares about a club foot? He'll be in a cast for like a year. Big deal. Right. Like, you know, like,
I mean, we got a scare too.
And then everything was fine. It's like, it's, you know,
well, I don't know yet. So we'll see. So keep telling me about this story. It's great.
It all comes out good.
I'm just kidding.
It all
comes out. Jeez.
It all comes out good.
Guys, Jamie just passed out. All right, so then...
And so then we went into the amnio, and we didn't know what the child was. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, and we didn't want to know. And then I remember, we made the decision that we wouldn't bring the pregnancy to term if the amnio indicated that there was spina bifida. And so I remember being on the table holding Karen's hand, and the technician asked if we wanted to know the gender. And I was like, if I only have 18... I'm going to start crying. If I only have 18 weeks with this little thing, I want to know absolutely everything about it. And so we had prepared ourselves that we were having a little boy. We just like had both imagined we were having a little boy, and he'd be this like moppy haired, sensitive new age kid with two moms.
Interesting.
Named Ethan.
Like super with the ladies. Actually, his name was going to be Benjamin because Karen was reading.
Like a Ben was on our list.
1776 at the time.
Interesting.
I love that
name. Of course
name.
You were.
Yeah. So we're like, Andrew? Benjamin? George? And so then Edie happened to be butt up. We're like, where's his penis? She doesn't have
one. She doesn't have a penis.
She was doing a tuck for like RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay, so, and then everything was good. So you found out after the amnio, everything was all right?
Everything was fine. Yeah. And then, you know, pregnancy.
Pregnancy was fine.
Yeah.
And then Edie was born.
She was born early. So she was born.
Oh, right. She was
how premature. Early?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. I went into labor at 5.5 weeks.
That means I would be going into labor in 2 weeks.
I'm ready. I'm totally ready.
I'm so ready.
Yeah. That will completely ruin our production schedule. So if your child could just sort of stay in there a little bit longer.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
So we went to the hospital for the hospital tour. Yes. And then we came home and the mucus plug.
Oh. Yuck.
Oh my God. No one told me about this.
It's a huge booger.
It doesn't happen to everyone, right?
I have no idea, but it happened to me.
It didn't happen to me.
It's like a 5-pound booger.
Okay. Oh my God. Wow. So disgusting.
It was in your underpants?
Yes.
Oh. Like, why with Karen, the visual? Why?
This is a fertility podcast, look at this guys. Thing. Oh, and you showed it to Karen.
Why wouldn't I show it to Karen?
I would show it too.
I would not show it.
Oh no, it's horrible.
I think I would just go back and be like, Mary, something. We still really have weird.
It. Just saved it. It's a drawer.
It's in your underwear drawer next to the stick. Underwear drawer. I hope it's in a Ziploc and snort number four. I hope it's in a Ziploc bag, at least.
I mean, that's one of those like reusable. No, we didn't save it. But I was like, oh, this is like the worst cold I've ever. It was just like the remains of it.
But
like,
did you know you were in labor?
Holy cow.
When you saw that?
So I passed it and then I started having contractions and the doctor's like, you know, okay, I know you're early, but just time it. So did we stay home from work the next day?
No, we went to the.
You went to work?
So
no, I think I did stay home that next day.
She started her contractions. We eventually got told to go to the hospital.
Yeah, so it was like Wednesday night I started. Thursday night we go to the hospital. They stopped my contractions.
Yeah.
But not before asking me to walk around the hospital ward.
I had that too.
They stopped your contractions on purpose?
Yes, because
I was 5 weeks.
She wasn't dilating.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't going into labor, right?
I was at 1 centimeter, so like, why don't you walk around the ward for an hour?
After I threw about, up while I was walking around the ward.
It's hard work, isn't it?
Really great. And then they sent me home.
45 minutes, Karen looks at her watch and goes, my feet are killing me.
You did not.
I was sympathizing with how like, she I must have felt.
Your feet must be real tired, honey bunch. So then I was still not dilated, and so they gave me the shot and we went home.
Oh, and then how long?
24 more hours.
Yeah, so then Karen went to work. She came home. The contraction stopped. Karen walks in the door.
Does that ever work? Like that stops? I mean, yeah. It's like that's...
So. They were like, you'll probably go to full term.
Yeah.
And then we were back there in 24 hours.
I know. I was like, oh my
God. Remember when you said I'd go full term?
Yeah. It's like, surprise. So the middle of the night, you know, I was like, Karen, my water broke. She's like, are you sure?
So you had all the normal...
Because I was really having a good dream.
Your body did all the normal things. Like the water broke normally. The mucus plug came out. Because some people don't see the mucus plug. Some people... Their
Stop
water
saying
just...
mucus plugs.
Some people, their water just leaks.
No, like, this was like pea soup. Because she also passed the
McCoy. Oh, my God.
Karen was like, get in the tub.
I told her, stand in the tub.
don't wreck our floors.
Yeah, yes. Basically.
I was like, oh, God, it's making a mess. Get in the tub.
You
oh
come out God. So badly in this story,
always,
just for the record.
Always. It gets worse.
And then she wouldn't let me carry a towel into the cab because she didn't want any, like cab drivers.
I was like, they're not going to pick us up. They're not going to pick us up.
I'm like, it's 12:30. So I put on like 12 pads and a pair of black pants.
They don't want people dripping in their cabs or throwing up in their
cabs. I threw up in the cab as well, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're lucky you got picked up.
It happened in the cab, so.
Oh.
Wow.
It was like the smoothest cab
ride.
So
she sat
ever.
On a really? Pillow in the cab, right?
No, I snuck the towel in.
Oh.
You made me carry it behind my back.
I hit her on the sidewalk while I flagged the cab
heroin.
And then she jumped
it was
in.
A towel.
It's crazy. Okay, so, and then, so you get to the hospital, and then how long is labor?
12
I mean,
hours?
Yeah, we get there at 12. They didn't Eight give hours. Me the epidural until 4:30, and I was screaming.
Did you know going in you wanted an epidural?
I did. I knew at like 5 months that
you
I
were
wanted
like, I'm not.
That's all she
can
talk
before
about
before pregnancy that I wanted the epidural.
Yeah.
As soon as we went rolling in, she was like, "I will be having the epidural."
Yeah.
And then they were really, really late because they couldn't find the doctor.
Yeah. It hurts so.
And they only.
I mean, it doesn't. It's all worth it.
He came running in. She was screaming so loud at the top of her lungs. I think she was
and
disturbing
snorting.
The entire floor.
Maybe.
I think she was inciting panic in the other patients. God. So they. finally got this guy. He comes running through. He was like, I'm sorry that the doctor didn't get me the approval.
Wow. Okay, so you got the epidural.
Ooh. And then Karen got an egg sandwich and took a nap.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. You didn't take a nap when you got your epidural?
No, I couldn't.
I was about to have a baby.
Oh, we both slept. It was really peaceful.
I got the epidural and we just watched
the closer. Did you have an egg and cheese too?
No, I just slept.
Oh.
So funny. All right, well, listen, I feel like all's well that ends well.
Yeah,
you had a little panic along the way and you
Edie
had
came out,
a baby.
She was fine. She was in the NICU for a little bit.
Yeah, she had some kind of infection.
They weren't nice either.
Yeah, that was rough. But she ended up coming home with us. So she had a little infection. She was a little underweight.
I know we're wrapping up, but they, again, told us all these things that were incorrect. But luckily, she was fine.
Oh, yeah. They told us she was going to be there for two weeks.
She was really sick. And look at her compared to... One of the nurses said, well, look at her compared to the rest of the babies. I was like, that's really fucked up.
Thanks.
Oh, wow.
It was okay.
She doesn't belong, meaning in the regular nursery. She doesn't belong here. Look at her compared to the rest of the babies.
I know, right?
I was like, all right, I'm headed up. I'm getting out of here.
We're not going to the same doctor, right? We don't have the same hospital.
I don't think so. It was our pediatrician who came in and saved the day.
Yes, the pediatrician that we used.
That we are the same pediatrician.
And he gave us all the correct information, put it in the right perspective. He was like, oh, I expect she'll be out of here.
And she's totally fine and she's totally cool and she's a great kid.
She's
and
pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not a boy named Benjamin.
No, she's a girl called Edie.
Aww. Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Jamie
Robin,
was that an incredible interview or what?
It was great.
I loved it.
Yeah, good couple, good people.
I mean, I have to say, I think the highlights for me was the genetic testing. I think what's really great about it is just you should be informed. Mm-hmm. It's like a reminder that you should be informed and you should, you know the process and look it up. It's all out there in the research. You know, mm-hmm. and make sure that you have done whatever testing you feel necessary.
Right. I think that was Karen's point, too, was know before you even start the process so that you don't come into little hitches in the road like they had to, like we had to.
Yeah.
If I had known more. Yeah. But then also don't get too wrapped up up in it, because if you're going to do this genetic testing, more often than not, something comes up.
I thought that the point that Toby made was really a great point of just like, it's a real precursor for your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to be perfect.
I mean, and parenting is not perfect, and you're not going to be a perfect parent.
There's a very good chance my kids are going to end up in therapy. It's because I yell a lot.
Yeah, well,
you know,
it's hard not to
just accept that.
Yeah, but no, it's a good, it's a tough first lesson, but it's a good first lesson.
And I also think that you know, we could actually take this episode and turn it into a drinking game for every time that Toby snorted. Like, I think that is a real. Like, this could have, like, legs, this episode, for that.
We could.
Yeah.
For those of you at home who want to replay it and have a drink with your spouse, go for it.
Please don't be pregnant. I mean, because that's, you know.
I mean, whatever floats your boat. Yeah, I don't judge.
I'm not your doctor. It's not for me to say.
I don't judge.
But, you know, the good thing is like, let's remind everybody, we're on the Facebook. We're mm-hmm. on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We're on If These Ovaries Could Talk. And on Twitter, we're at Ovaries Talk.
Mm-hmm. So hit us up, ask us any questions you might have, any comments.
Yeah, and we were thinking that because we're creating a community here, so we were thinking a good question would be, you know, how do you plan on talking to your kids about the donor?
You know, if you already have kids, how do you talk to them about the donor?
I mean, for me, we have a little book, something about like our family, and it's from the Donor Conception Network,
mm-hmm.
and they have the most specific books ever, like two moms, you know. Sperm from a donor from a bank, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. and it's a really specific book. And I find that just like reading that to my kids helped start the conversation. So that's mm-hmm. how we handle it.
Well, we just ordered that book. It's coming, but it's in the UK, so it has to. It's coming a long way.
It'll be here.
Yeah, and so like our daughter is just at the age where we haven't really started talking to her about it yet.
Yeah,
but we do plan on telling her she has a donor, and we tell her she doesn't have a dad; she has two moms. Which she seems totally cool with.
Yep. Yeah, we do the distinction of donor versus dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, to each his own.
But some people ask about the dad. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that at home?
Oh, my listeners? Kids are, my kids just wander around at really inopportune moments, like when we were in Texas doing a photo shoot that my sister made us do. And I heard one of my kids go, "We don't have a dad." And I was just like, oh, God. So you'll, you know, start thinking about that, folks, because it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All yeah. right. I mean, I think it's time, Jamie, to say eggs, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.